Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon this morning is the gospel lesson. Verse 34, do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. And so the words of Jesus. And this is the Sunday closest to Independence Day, and looking back and remembering words from the Declaration of Independence, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. And so we live in a nation that recognizes and honors God. Now, there is at Independence Day for preachers a balance that you struggle to keep. And balance is this. It is between preaching that we are to be good citizens and subject to the government and recognize the government authorities and be loyal to our nation on the one hand, and on the other recognize that we have a first loyalty, and that is not to this nation. It is to God. And we are called to be citizens first of the kingdom of God. How do you hold those two in balance is the question. And then you recognize that it's a different balance around the world in different countries. Because there are, and I've been told this, have not experienced running into it yet, there are those who will come from another nation and they will come into one of our churches and they will be absolutely stunned, shocked that we have the flag of the nation displayed in our sanctuary. And they say in their country they would never do that. Never, not in a million years. And you start asking why. And you realize in their country, the flag of that nation was held up as the government rolled over the churches. And Christians were imprisoned for being Christian and standing against certain things that the government was doing. And you realize this is a whole different mix. And how privileged we are to be in a country where the government recognizes, the government says, we are to be no better than second. Because you have your first loyalty as citizens of the kingdom of God. And if you will be good citizens of the kingdom of God, then we will trust you to be good citizens of the nation. And Jesus comes along and he has certain demands on us. So we go back into our text. We realize that among those who are created equal with unalienable rights, there is, even in this nation, there is conflict and strife, fighting and hatred, and the quest for power over one another and how to bind the freedoms of our fellow human beings. It goes on in our nation, and it goes on because we have gone wrong as a whole human race. And into this world of conflict comes Jesus, the Son of God. And Jesus comes and he will bring peace, right? Is that what he said in the gospel lesson today? No. Not peace, but a sword. Hell. I've spent many years listening to arguing. Part of my job, isn't it? listening to arguing, dealing with conflict. That's a part of the job of a pastor. And so after 30-some years, some things I've learned. Every bit of our arguing involves human foolishness and stupidity. Every single bit of it. Because either, first option, we are stupidly stubborn about petty things toward each other, or somehow the arguing involves stupidly standing in defiance of God and His truths. Covers it all. About the first option, you know, you've seen it. We can argue and fight over the smallest, pettiest things in life, so much that our fights are even laughable and people write comedies about them. Yeah. Even when the argument between two people is about something important, somehow we manage to find the pettiest, tiniest, most ridiculous part of the argument and dwell on it. Oh, this is that tiny part of life that I will now all of a sudden, I will make that the one single most important thing in life, and you'd better agree to it. Oh, yeah? Well, I can find another petty little thing in life, and I can make that the most important thing in life, and you better agree to that. If you doubt me, let me illustrate how it all began. You know the story. Where are you? I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the fruit that I told you not to eat? The woman whom you gave me. Sets the pattern, and it's gone on that way ever since. About the second pattern, when will we as a human species ever figure out that when we have gone against the eternal truths and it's always turned out badly, it's probably best not to go back and do it all over again? But we do. And then we watch things fall apart. Or it just seems to gain more and more momentum until somebody has to stand up in the face of it. And then you have the great wars. It's so bad that there's no way out of it except for having a complete change of who and what we are, a complete change of heart and soul. And that's what we need. We need someone to enter into our conflict and someone who is capable of changing us from the inside out. And so Jesus comes. Jesus comes into this world. A world of hatred and arguing and conflict and war. And as he comes, what does he do? He doesn't come to pick one side against the other. How's that work? In our petty arguments, he doesn't take sides. He doesn't take one side or the other of the stubborn little arguments, and he will not stand up for you when you're being foolishly stubborn. know why. Let's do that a second time. In the great conflicts, when everybody wants to say, God's on my side. It's interesting to remember what Abraham Lincoln said. It is not a matter of whether God is on your side, but on whether you are on God's side. And when God deals with our conflicts, no matter how big they are, he doesn't bring his work into the service of our desires. He doesn't bring his kingdom into be a part of our kingdom. You know why? Let's do this a third time. Do you remember last October we were looking forward to the national elections and along came a sermon that was titled, with the hand motions included, "These are not the kingdoms you are looking for." The hand motions are from the Star Wars movie. These are not the kingdoms you are looking for. You know why? Because what Jesus is doing is bringing in a completely different kingdom. He calls us to belong to his kingdom first. And in belonging to his kingdom first, to recognize that all other kingdoms, all other priorities, all other claims, they have to go by the wayside. Kingdoms will come and go. Nations will pass away. This nation will pass away. Sometime it will happen because there is only one kingdom that is eternal, and that is the kingdom of God. There's only one kingdom that is eternal because there's only one kingdom that is founded on something that is eternal, founded on eternal words from God, and founded on an eternal act done by Jesus, dying and rising for us. And so he calls us to belong to his kingdom first. It's a different kingdom because it doesn't come to us through force or armies or voting or politics or a king setting up his kingdom, gathering soldiers and sweeping over territory in the world. That comes through a king who goes individually, one soul at a time, to plant his word, his message of gospel, his promises of forgiveness and life and eternity, to plant those promises inside the soul, and by doing so, to connect us into his eternity. It's different because in bringing that kingdom into place, he takes all of the other things, all of the things of this world, and carries them off to do away with them. It's what he said later on in the gospel reading. Whoever does not take his cross and follow me. What the cross is. It's a setting aside, abandoning, turning away from, forsaking everything in this life, this world, these desires that is not connected to God's eternal kingdom, realizing that all of this will be gone and there is only one thing that I need to hold on to, and I need to hold on to that, or rather I need him to hold on to me. And when Jesus challenges for his kingdom, the challenge is serious and it's deep. But remember, it comes from the one who actually did the setting aside of everything, though being in nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself, made himself nothing, taking on the form of a servant, being born in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. And there on the cross, Jesus takes everything inside of us that pulls and pushes and wants the things of this world. He takes all of those and he carries them in his own flesh, carries them into death, carries them away as far as they possibly can go. How far away? Far enough so that the words, my God, why have you forsaken me, fit. Because there he was, as far as possible from the grace and the love and the blessing of his Father, carrying everything that was ours that was not connected to God. Went there with it all and dumped it into eternity. And then on the third day, brings in the life, the resurrection, the newness, the belonging to his kingdom, so that all who know him, all who are connected with him, share in the eternal life, in the resurrection, in the power of Easter, in everything that belongs to God. And Jesus brings all of that to us. That's his kingdom. Different from any other kingdom in this world. And only in Jesus can we have true freedom and life and peace and blessing and eternity. And so this Tuesday, as we celebrate Independence Day, realize that we also have Dependence Day, Connection with Christ Day. And only in that do we have our blessings. And we are blessed. We are absolutely blessed to live in a nation that recognizes that truth and says, be loyal first to God, and then citizenship will work out. In Jesus' name, amen.